Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Daniel, chapter 12. It is exciting to see our missionaries coming home with reports of souls being saved, discipled, churches started, new congregations going. And that's what missions is about. And God help us to never lose sight of our part here, making it possible for those called to go to be able to go and minister and represent our Lord there on the mission field. God's got a wonderful plan, and He's worked it out so that churches here and missionaries in the various places of the world are partners together with Christ to do a work for Him. If you found your place, would you stand, please, and I shall read only one verse tonight. It's a very familiar verse. Chapter 12, verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, I want to shine, shine, shine. Do you? Father, help me tonight to be an encouragement to our people to rekindle in our hearts the fire of soul winning. Lord, to some it's a way of life, and we're grateful for that. To others, it's something they used to do, but have let it slip by the wayside. And I pray that you'd stir that fire burning again. And help each of us to realize that it's not something that some are gifted to do. It's something that every wise Christian wants to do and practices. And then, Father, there are Christians here who have never led a soul to Christ. And would you use this service to stir in their heart the desire to learn how to lead someone to Jesus Christ? Help them, Lord, to be willing to be a partner, a silent partner with a soul winner, and learn how by listening until they're able to strike out on their own. Every one of us started that way. We didn't know how to go about telling someone about Jesus, but we became a partner with someone that did. And by learning on the job, by listening, we learned, and before long we were able to begin to talk and take a partner with us. Help us never to lose sight of that. Help us never grow too old to do it. And help us, Father, never get to the place where we think we've outgrown it spiritually. Help me tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 was Dr. Jack Howell's life verse. He taught it, he believed it, he emphasized it, he practiced it. And he left the example as a part of his legacy for others to follow. The Christian who practices this truth today is truly wise in a world of religious ignorance. I was on a plane going somewhere to preach sometime, and I sat by a man that went to a Bible church here in Arlington. And I asked him if he was a Christian. He said, oh, yes, and he told me where he went to church. And I said, I'm glad to know you're saved. Do you lead people to Christ? He said, oh, I've outgrown that stuff. Well, you never outgrow soul winning. When you leave soul winning behind, you leave Jesus behind. You leave the will of God behind for every Christian's life. This passage is talking about soul winning. The wisest man who ever lived said by divine inspiration from God in Proverbs 11:30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Can anyone say that your life is a tree of life? Fruit, it just keeps on producing fruit for Jesus. "And he that winneth souls is wise." Now this is a principle and practice that I've emphasized when I came here 22 years ago. And no matter what the attitude of the world is about soul winning, or what the attitude of the religious world is in reference to soul winning, as long as I'm a pastor, soul winning is going to be a priority for myself, my staff members, all elected officials, for all Sunday school teachers, for all children's church workers, and for all bus workers. And if all of us would do our job, there'd be plenty newcomers in our church wanting to learn how. It's my hope that by our faithfulness to soul winning, that we'll have a positive influence on new Christians and new church members and young Christians. Now, I practiced soul winning before there was a soul winning conference or a pastor's school. I learned how to be a soul winner in 1960, in the 60s. Before God ever called me to preach, I remember kneeling and asking God to help me to learn how to tell someone about Christ. A friend found a 33 RPM record at a garage sale entitled "Let's Go Soul Winning" by Jack Hiles. And it was off of that garage sale 33 RPM lesson record that I learned how to mechanically tell someone about Jesus Christ. I practiced on myself in the mirror. I can't tell you how many times I got saved. Sometimes I didn't. I just was hard for the old boy. But I wanted to learn how. And then I had the privilege of sitting in a pastor's school before there was a pastor's school, at Rolling Hills Baptist Church, at a New Year's Bible conference, where Dr. Hiles, having just gone to Hammond, brought his staff down, and in the afternoon, for 2 days, had a little pastor's school before there was a pastor's school, and there were 13 of us in that. As a brand new pastor, just surrendered in August 1964, and now it's January 1965, and I've had the privilege. And then I got to meet Dr. Carl Hatch, one of the great soul-winning evangelists in America. And I've practiced soul-winning in my ministry and every ministry that I've had. I've taught it to young preachers who have surrendered under my ministry. One of the greatest soul-winning pastors in America today is Mike Ray in Napa, California. And when he is 12 years old, right after he got saved, he came in and said, "Pastor, would you tell me and show me how to lead someone to Christ?" And I sat on my couch in my office and took my New Testament, and I taught him how to lead someone to Christ. He uses it every day of his life. He witnesses, and he witnesses, and he witnesses. I've taught soul winning in Bible colleges. Still have a soul winning course in our Bible college that Brother Lassiter teaches. And I want you to know I believe in it. And I know that the key to soul winning is not a calling, it's not a special gift, it's just getting right with God and doing it. Doing it. Now I want you to look with me quickly tonight at our verse number 3. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever." Notice first of all the characters that are mentioned in this verse. There's two of them. First of all, those that are wise. Those that are wise. Of what does this wisdom he's talking about consist? First of all, a personal knowledge of the way of salvation. You ought to know you're saved, and you ought to know how you got saved. And if you can get that down and settle that in your heart, you can tell somebody else how you got saved. By the way, it doesn't take a college degree to be a soul winner. It takes a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior and knowing how to give a testimony. Let me tell you, the one thing that the devil cannot refute is a changed life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the wise are wise because they have a personal knowledge of the way of salvation. They are wise because they see life and its choices through the eyes and the mind of Christ. And by the way, that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is seeing life and its choices through the mind and the will of Christ. Seeing things as He sees them. The wise show their wisdom by using that wisdom and knowledge to turn others to Christ and righteousness. That's called by a lot of different names, but you can't paint it any other way than saying it's winning people to Jesus Christ. People mock it, they laugh at it, but they're fools. Those that practice it, God says, are wise. Are you wise tonight? By the way, the best way I know that you can show wisdom in your life is not by telling people how wise you are and how much you know, but just going about telling others about Jesus. Winning people to Christ. And then the second character in this passage is stated this way: they that turn many to righteousness. This simply means they lead people to salvation. They lead people to faith in Christ. Now, soul winning doesn't mean you save them. If you think that, then you need to go to Corsicana. They can use some extra nuts in the fruitcakes down there. You'd qualify. You don't save anybody. The only Savior there is Jesus Christ. But God has made it possible that we who know Him can tell others about Him, and in telling others about them, lead them to Jesus Christ. And don't you know, it is our witness and the use of His Word that the Holy Spirit uses to plant faith in their heart, enough faith for them to believe on Jesus Christ. That's what Ephesians 2:8-9 says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. The faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we witness, God uses that gospel witness to implant faith in their heart and to bring conviction upon their heart and their life about their lost condition. Now, they that turn many to righteous means to lead them to Christ, to faith in Christ. It means that to lead them to right living. Notice it says, turn many to righteousness. There's two kinds of righteousness. There is the imputed righteousness of Christ we receive when we get saved. And then after we get saved, we need someone to nurture us and teach us so we'll learn how to live right for Jesus. Tell you what we do today. We'll go out and lead someone to Christ. They'll bow their head and pray, and we'll drop them and never go back again. God forbid. That's like being a father and a mother to a little baby and leaving along the roadside somewhere. It's going to die. The old devil's going to have a field day with them. He'll send some Jehovah's Witness, some Mormon by, some pervert by to lead them astray, to turn many to righteous means first and foremost to get them saved and then lead them to right living. That's growth in grace. You say, well, let them find it out like I did. I don't want them to be that ignorant, perhaps. If you've got any measure of biblical understanding, it's because somebody's taught you. Somebody's helped you. That's the job of every soul winner. If we would win them and win them and win them and love them and love them and love them and help them and help them and help them. And I want you to know, I don't agree with those that say you shouldn't win more than you can disciple. I believe you need to keep winning them and discipling them and have little ones there in all different stages of their Christian growth. Don't you worry about leading too many to Christ. God forbid. I don't want to lead more than I can disciple. You ever think about getting some help? Just keep on winning them. Keep on winning them to Christ. Keep on winning them to Christ. And then to turn them to righteousness means to lead them to the place so they can line up with God and His Word in the area of living and worship and serving the Lord Jesus Christ for His sake. You know, we need to win them to Christ, win them to the church, and win them to service. That's our job. That's what soul winning is about. We think it's just to get them saved and drop them. Win them, wed them, wean them, worm them, and work them. That's our job. We must never lose sight of that. Secondly, in what manner and by what methods do we become wise and turn many to righteous? Number one, by instructing those in the knowledge of God's Word. What's our tool? It's this book. It's the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead and has free salvation for all who will believe. That's our message. That's our message. That's where it all begins. You never outgrow that. You never grow too spiritual to tell someone about it. If you get to the place where you've outgrown that stuff, you really have backslid on God. You're worthless to the cause of Christ. By instructing others in the knowledge of the Word of God. It all begins with a gospel witness. Listen to me. It's not our talent that changes lives. It's not our college degree that changes lives. It's not our personality that changes life. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our message to give out. Give it out over and over and over and over and over and over again. You say, but not everybody's going to like it. No, but some will. And when God finds out He can trust you to give out the gospel, He'll send some by you that He's been working on, because He knows if they'll come by, you'll tell them about Jesus. Those are divine appointments. You say, I've never had one of those. God knows He can't trust you. Give out the gospel. Just keep on giving out. That's what it means. What manner and what method do we become wise and turn men into righteous? By instructing others in the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By witnessing to the lost sinner for the purpose of getting them saved. Now let me tell you what we do and what we ought to do. We have accepted the philosophy of the religious world that everybody's saved. Surely they're saved. When in truth, we ought to look at everybody and say they're lost until they give us testimony that they're saved. I'm amazed how many people we walk by and just assume that they're saved. You might look at me and say, well, I assume he's got $1 million. Well, you assumed wrong, sister, brother. By witnessing to lost sinners for the purpose of getting them saved. And then by an example of Christ in our own life. Now, I do not believe in evangelism of looks. I don't believe people just get saved by looking at our life. But I believe a right life is a great use in personal discipleship. We've got to tell them, and then we need to show them how a Christian ought to live. We ought to set the right example of Christ in our own life. This means to have a clean mouth. It's hard to witness to someone to win them to Christ when you just told them a filthy joke. It means to be an example is to live a pure spirit-filled life. And to have a right example and be a right example means to maintain a straight walk. It means to acquire and keep a godly testimony. To be the right example is to maintain a faithful example of living, serving, and worshiping our Savior and our Lord and our God in our local church. Then here's something that many never do, but it's essential if we're going to be successful in turning many to righteousness. That is to be faithful, fervent prayer partners. Praying for them. Let me ask you. Name five lost people you're praying for right now. Okay, name four. If you can't name four, name three. If you can't name three, name two. If you can't name two, can you name one you're praying for right now that's lost? Well, preacher, I don't know why I can't win souls. I may have stated the reason here in these three main thoughts, under what manner and by what method do we become wise and turn many to righteous. And then lastly, the unfailing promise to those who are wise and turn many to righteous. Here's the promise. We shall shine, both here and in eternity. The Bible says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, the heavens. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. We'll not lose our personal identity in heaven and in eternity. If we shine here for Jesus, we'll shine there also in His presence. That's what it means, forever and ever. If we shine for Jesus, we'll shine there. If we refuse to shine here for Jesus, it'll be evident there that we refuse to shine here, because we're not going to shine there either. Now, what makes shining so important is that we all only have borrowed light. And the shining that we do is to reflect Jesus through our life. And oh my, if we live and shine for Jesus here, then we're going to shine up there too for Jesus. It's one thing to have people say down here, man, I see Jesus in you. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be there in His presence and everybody say, look at him shine for Jesus. I know why. What a tragedy to stand there and have no light. Have no light. When we shine, it's Jesus' light that we're allowing to shine through us. Let me conclude. When the stars in our earthly heavens grow dark and shine no more in the end of the ages, The wise soul winner will just keep on shining in glory. So my dear friend, let's determine now to shine, shine, shine here to a lost world, reflecting to them the light of Christ, the greatest need of their life. For God has promised, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. The other night, driving back from taking a group deer hunting, Brother Garner was driving. He and I were in the front seats, and as we were driving, stars were shooting across the heavens. You say, man, that's beautiful. Yeah, but those stars were dying out. They were going out in a blaze of glory, never to shine again. And yet God has promised that if we'll be wise and turn many to Christ, if we be soul winners, that we'll just shine and shine and shine and keep on shining. What are you going to be known for in eternity? Did you ever stop to think about your identity in eternity? Now, I can look at every one of you, and I know what you're known for, many of you and most of you. I know what you're known for here. What are you going to be known for in eternity? Wouldn't it be wise for everybody to say, man, look at that man shine. Look at that woman shine. She turned many to righteousness. She led many to Christ while she is alive on earth. Wouldn't it be great to be known in heaven as one who was a witness to a lost soul, a lost world? I don't know about you, but I want to shine, shine, shine. You ever think about it? Father, that's our message tonight. Very simple, straight to the point, but so, so important. Help us to look at